can you explain for us what the AMPI is?
So AMPI is an association that was born directly before, you know, the actual liberation in 1945. I think it happened something around the end of 1944, where actually the Americans were starting to liberate the south of Italy. So it happened as association of partisans, only partisans. And after the liberation and the constitution of the Italian Republic, it started to involve also like people that wanted to bring the memory of the partisan and of the resistance in Italy and outside Italy. So after a while, it started to involve also people that were not actually, you know, active in the resistance, maybe a brother, a sister, part of the family, and in general, like, you know, all anti-fascists that were willing to do so. This is very brief and maybe not so precise, but yeah, that's how it happened. And yeah, so for us, it's always been part of, for us, I mean, me as a kid was always part of how I learn about anti-fascism, how I learn about partisan. I always had in the school ex-partisan or people that have been deported, talking to us and explaining to us how important is the memory of anti-fascism and resistance, and that was basically all organized by AMPI. So, yeah, for me, it was really important to build my own anti-fascism ideology, let's say.
Yeah, this sounds really interesting. And right now you're setting up with other people a branch of AMPI in Leipzig. And this brings me to the question, why do you think it's important to also do active memory of the partisans also here in Germany and especially in Leipzig?
I mean, so as I said, it's important to bring up memory like from the past, no matter how far ago this happened, you know, almost 80 years ago. And so we did it for two reasons in particular. I'm speaking for myself, but we discussed this a lot also in the group, so I think I can speak also for the other. So the first reason was that we felt that, like, we wanted to do some activisms, anti-fascist activism, and we started to talk about how to do it. And I think that the most appropriate way for us was to bring up the memory of people that actually fought for against an oppressor. And we wanted to do so in Germany because we felt that, like, in recent days or as soon as I became a little bit active in the community in Leipzig, sometimes the word anti-fascism was a bit dirty and was used not in an appropriate way. And then when you bring up the topic of the resistance, then, of course, people don't know what, you know, like what happened and why it's so important to remember it for us. Like, people are a bit, not in denial, but are a bit ashamed or a bit shy to talk about that, you know, especially in Germany, to talk about the Second World War. They just feel a lot of guilt, and this is scary because this also, like, let people forget more easily, you know? So this was the first reason. So we decided to set that. This was the main reason, I would say. And more personally, I also think that since in Italy now we have, I think I can say that, a fascist government, you know, I felt a bit hopeless when 2 years ago after the election we had this, like, drastic turning point and I didn't know how to be active in a foreign country. And I think that's one of the way I can do, no? So yeah, that's the main 2 points.
Yeah, you mentioned right now the actual government in Italy, and I would like to ask you about that also, because I think it's interesting. On one hand, you told us that people from the ANPI, they went to schools, they're talking, they're doing education work, holding up like the history of the partisans, and on the other hand, like, the right is getting bigger and bigger in Italy since the 90s. So what do you think, how is it like in the Italian discourse and the society, how do people think about partisans? How's their legacy upheld? Is there a conflict between maybe left-wing, right-wing people, how they would understand their own history?
Yeah, there are definitely conflict, and I think part of the, so first of all, I have to say that I think that the education, it's very regional. So every region like can handle more or less or has a certain freedom on that, no? Like can decide whether you want to do information about that or not. And in the regions where the partisan action were more active, where we had teachers that had brothers that die under Nazi fascism, or we had sons and daughters, no? Like there we had a lot of information. And I think Emilia-Romagna, my region, is one of that, no? And then there are other regions where the partisan action were less, I don't know, visible or were in general less. And sometimes they were associated also with action of violence towards farms. And like then they also, the thing is that the myth of partisan as a hero, it's very dangerous things to say, you know? Like, and the actual component of this government use this argument against us. They said, yeah, but what you think about partisan, this is a myth. They are not hero. They also did evil thing. Of course, this was a war, no? But we have to think about oppressor. And that's why there is, that's where there is a, the conflict, no? People that said, yes, but they were also evil. We don't have to idealize them. And people that said, yes, but this is important for building up our society. This was important to bring people together. So let's remember that. And yeah, in some region, this is more done. So the information about actual anti-fascism, so not people as hero, but actual anti-fascism was where well done. And in other regions, this was less done historically, maybe, yeah, because they had less partisan in general or because they had a regional government more of the right, no? So, yeah, this is very conflictive and very controversial and very, very easy, hard to explain as well.
Yeah, it sounds really interesting, like how... In like how it's this a battlefield maybe of how people think about it. You mentioned now that like in Emilia Romagna where you are coming from, the history is much more like lived and much more public than in other regions of Italy. What brings me to the question is can you say is it possible to say that like in the right, for example, are they weaker in Emilia-Romagna as in other regions, or is there, can't you bring there some, how can you say it in English, connections between this?
I mean, they used to be weaker, and I always lived in Bologna, which was a little bit more of a bubble, a leftist bubble. So I would say that now it's not weak at all. It's always threatening the regional government. And so definitely, like, you know, like I can only speak for my region. So I've always seen a lot of activism and protest against this right wing that was starting to get more and more predominant in the country. But the thing is that I've only lived in Emilia Romagna. So I'm sure that this is happening also in other regions. But yeah, I think we are one of the last region left that has a regional government of the left. But this actually means nothing, to be honest.
Yeah, it's I can imagine that it's also left governments could be complicated. But let's maybe talk also about the film you're showing tomorrow at 7:30. It's going to be, or the name is, maybe you can say it after in Italy in the right version, I mi si sette padri.
Yes, sette padri.
What makes this film so special? Why did you choose this film to show?
Okay, so Adelmo Cervi, which is the person which the film is inspired from, I hope I said it right, he was the son of one of the seven brothers, Aldo, I think the name was. Yeah, and I think it makes it special because it was inspired by the desire of this son to track down the history of a father that he actually never had, because I think Adelmo was born in 1944, and shortly after, like, I guess few months after his father died. So, and the thing is that in our culture and as, you know, like in my regional culture, but I guess I dare to say also in the culture of Italian fascism, this particular family was really, really special because they really did a huge work for fighting anti-fascism, and they were never, like, let down by the system. So they are a family of farmers, and this gets me a bit emotional because it's actually so it's really near the story of my family. So they were a family of farmers, and these farmers were what we call in Italian mezzadri. And mezzadria is I actually Googled it in English, but I couldn't find a word that I think could translate it. So mezzadria is you work as a farmer for a landlord, and you give half of your worth to the landlord. And of course, this is a very injustice system. And this was also my family was going through in the 50s, for example. And they, first of all, had the gap to stood up and be activists in the community of farmers since the beginning of the regime. And after the 8th of September, so armistizio, you know, when the Salò Republic was instituted, they immediately decided to become partisan, and they gave a lot to the community, and that was, I don't know, that was really admirable. And that's why they were, shortly after, they were all, the seven brothers and the dad were, you know, like imprisoned. And shortly after, the old brother died and the dad was spared. And I think that's very cruel as well, because then the dad didn't know that the seven brothers died, and he had to learn it when he went back home. And this is a point. So when we celebrated the liberation of Italy, it's the 25th of April, the house of this Cervi family always hold a very huge party. And this is also very interesting because when Mussolini was imprisoned for the first time, they hold a party. So the family Cervi hold a party and cooked pasta for all the village. And they somehow are keeping up this tradition till now. So it's brilliant, I think, and they were very important also after for all the education and information of anti-fascism. So that's why it's very important for me and for us to bring this testimony. And it's very nice that Adelmo Cervi is visiting us, and he could talk, you know, he can talk about that to everybody.